we talking about today? Prison break, yes. That's the title of today's lesson, in case you didn't know. You do have a sneak preview every week in your devotionals. You can check that out. Before we get into the actual meat of the lesson, I feel like the Lord gave us some bonus material. And maybe it's just bonus material for me, but I was so excited about it, I wanted to share it with you this morning. Throughout the Old Testament, God is consistently known as a deliverer. A deliverer. The psalmist praised God in Psalm 144 in verses 1 and 2. He said, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me." And then in Psalms 18, 1 and 2 is an encouraging list that he shared with us about God's identity. He says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and my horn of salvation and my high tower." I love the way he started, and he said, "I will love you, Lord." He declared it. He said, "I'm going to do it. I will love you. I will love you." You see, David, we think about David always being anointed as the king, right? And when he was pulled away from the sheep and he was anointed, he didn't go right to the palace. In fact, he went through 20 years of a lot of stuff. 20 years as a fugitive. A man who was on the run. A man who lost a lot of things. Lost relationships. Lost comfort. He lost a lot of things. And yet, despite all of the loss in his life, his faith was steadfast on the Lord. And he said, "I will love you. No matter what is happening, no matter what goes my way or what isn't going my way, I will love you because you are my rock. You are my rock." When we think about that word rock, for me, I can't say that it really means a lot, in the literal sense of it. But when we think about this, and for ancient Judea, the way they would look at this is they would say, "That rock provides me with essential shade. The rocks hide me from the heat of the sun in the desert. It provides shelter and protection in the cracks and the crevices. There's a place where we can hide in the rock of Jesus. It provides me with a firm place to stand when everything else is shifting and everything else is not sure. He is my strength, and my trust is in him. I will choose to love him. I will choose to declare that he is my strength. Satan, get behind me. Those lies that you keep whispering in my head, that doubt that you're trying to plant, that God doesn't love me because life isn't perfect and everything isn't going the way that I thought it would go, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Because he is on the throne, and I know that he is working all things together for my good, even when it doesn't feel good. So Satan, you say what you want. My hope is in the Lord. My trust is in him, and I will love him. I will choose to love him because he's my strength. He's the one who empowers me. He's my rock who gives me shelter and safety. He's my fortress which gives me strength and safety. He's my deliverer. He makes a way for escape. He is my God, my strong God. He puts strength in my soul, not just strength in my body. Sometimes we're disappointed because we're not finding what we want in the physical and in the material, but oh, that we would understand what he can do in our soul and in our mind and what strength he can give to us. He's a shield that defends us. He defends us. We want him to defend us physically. We don't ever want to get sick. We don't ever want anything bad to happen to us. We don't want to go through anything that's uncomfortable. We don't want to be stretched outside of our comfort zone. But in the middle of that, whatever it is that we have to walk through, we can know that He is our shield. He's the shield over our mind. He's the shield over our heart that says, no matter what you walk through, Tommy, I'm with you. No matter what, I've got you. He is our stronghold. He's the high tower of refuge. Oh, that we would understand who He is and keep the perspective of who He is. You see, nothing changed. That same God of the Old Testament is the same God who came in the flesh. He came as our Savior and our Deliverer. And He has shown over and over again that He is after us because He loves us. Praise God. Aren't you thankful to know the Deliverer? Aren't you thankful to know the one that no matter what happens, He's here? Just the mention of His name brings Him so close when everything else feels so far. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's read from our text this morning. We're wrapping up our series about these miracles. We started out at the temple gate, and now we're ending in a prison cell. But it's not stopping there, because yes, there's a prison break. Acts chapter 12, we're going to read verses 1 through 18. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He wanted to poke the bear. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he knew that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. For no other reason than it pleased the people. For popularity's sake, he did this. Sometimes things happen and we say, why, God? Why? Because it's bigger than you. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaterions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth that same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. Get dressed, Peter, let's go. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel. And he thought, I'm seeing a vision. This cannot really be happening. Verse 10 says, when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which openeth to them of his own accord. The gate opened itself, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwhile the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he saith, now I know of surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying, and Peter knocked at the door. He just knocked at the door, and a damsel came. She came. And she answered. And when she knew Peter's voice, she heard him calling. She didn't open the door. She had one job, and she didn't open the door. She closed it. She didn't close it. She didn't open it. She turned around and she went back. She went back inside. And she said, hey, Peter's here. And they said, no, we're praying. This is a prayer meeting. You need to be serious and you need to pray. I'm not joking. It's right there in the scriptures. Lady, you're crazy. You're mad. You're seeing his ghost. Come over here and pray that God will deliver him. I mean, how comical is this? But how often do we do that? The answer is right in front of us. No, God, I really need to pray for this. The answer is right in front of us. Verse 16 says, Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. She's right. He's here. But he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace. Shh, I got something to tell you. He declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed, and he went to another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. You see, Agrippa had taken Peter. Again, it was simply for popularity's sake. And he held him in the prison because he was wanting people to think of him as someone who was celebrating the holiday. I, too, follow your religious ways. And I'm not really 100% sure how they're going to feel about Peter, and maybe there might be a revolt. So I'm going to wait till they all go home after Easter, and then I'll do what I want to do. He was testing to see what the people wanted. There's a danger in people-pleasing. But here's Peter. Here's Peter. And God takes him out. Takes him out of prison. You see, he put him in prison. We don't really know why. We don't really know why he was there. And one of the biggest questions, the hardest questions that we always are trying to chase is why? Why did this happen? Why did this happen to me and it didn't happen to you? Or if it's a good thing, why did it happen to you and it didn't happen to me? We always want to wrestle the why. And as we read this chapter and we read about James, it tells us right away that James, the brother of John, was killed. He was the first one martyred of the disciples. Not the first Christian killed, but of the disciples, he was the first one. And I have to imagine that James was there in prison while Peter was there, and that people were praying for their release. And I think that it happened so swiftly that they were caught off guard by what happened to James. But I cannot believe that James had any less faith than Peter. I cannot believe that James, who was a godly man, a spirit-filled man, a spirit-led man, had anything less than Peter had. I can't stand here today and tell you why, but I can tell you that God is sovereign and that he is on the throne. It's a really hard, humbling thing to have to say that when we desperately want to know why something has happened. It's a painful thing to have to wrestle that. But I feel like all of our life, that is exactly what we will do. Because we can't see from the side of eternity what God is trying to accomplish. And none of us are an island. All of us impact other people somehow, some way. You see, the truth of the matter is simple, that God is sovereign and his plan is beyond anything that we understand. God is God and we are not. There has to be something within each one of us in a childlike faith that says, you know what, God, I'm going to be okay with not knowing the answer. Because I trust you. Because I trust you. Because you are faithful. Because you are my rock. Because you are my fortress. Because you have been here. And you are there. And on the other side of this, you will be. And I trust you. I choose to trust you. I choose to love you. I choose to tell the enemy, you have no place here. You see, the angel came, entered Peter's cell, unseen and unheard. But it says that the light shone in. Any of you ever woken up to a bright light in your face? I don't know how you stay asleep. Unless you're my son, then you sleep through anything. The bright light was there, and yet they slept. Peter slept, because God was orchestrating it. The angel struck Peter on his side to get him moving. Let's go, Peter. Let's go. And when he did that, he stood up, and the chains fell. I'm sure that that prison was not carpeted, and I can only imagine the sound of the chains clattering onto the ground. And yet, the guards still slept. Only God can do something like that. You see, those who were tasked to guard him were left in a sleepy stupor. One minute, he was bound, and the next, he was loose. That is a miracle. How would you have responded if you were Simon Peter? We would be stunned, no doubt. Just like him. Is this a vision? Am I seeing things? Is this really happening? Am I really hearing this? Today, there are many, many miracles that exist of people who have experienced the same miraculous touch. Maybe God used an angel. Maybe he didn't. But the chains that consistently bound them fell immediately, powerless in their lives. You see, one moment, a chemical addiction wrapped around a repentant man, and the next moment, he was permanently delivered when he was baptized. That's a miracle. One moment, depression wrapped like a chain around the heart of a child of God, and the next moment, the joy of the Lord shattered it. That's a miracle. One moment, anxiety tormented a lady's mind, and the next moment, trust in God severed the chain as it fell noisily to the ground. That is a miracle. One moment, a marriage is headed for divorce, and the next moment, divorce is shattered, and love, perfect love, restores that marriage better than before. That is a miracle. One moment of deliverance for these and countless other situations about the testimony that God can deliver us yet today. A transformed mind, a renewed heart. That is a miracle. We must embrace the truth that God still delivers today. Too many times we want to define the miracle. Too many times we want to define the deliverance. But oh, that we would step back and see, God, where are you? What are you doing? What are you making happen that I cannot see? What is it beyond these eyes? Let me see to the hills where my help comes from, because you are my help. That is the miracle, that no matter what we walk through, he's with us, he's present, he's keeping us. That is the miracle. God is no respecter of persons, and every account that we read in the scriptures is there to help you and I believe that he is able, that he is the deliverer. It's not to say that you're not good enough. The enemy wants you to think that you're not good enough. He wants you bound in chains, but today God is after a prison break. He wants to loose your mind. He wants to loose your spirit. And doing all of that, he wants to loose your life. I don't care where you've started. What matters is where you end. God's not interested in everything that's behind. He's interested in going forward. And he offers us this. That is the miracle. He's not merely a deliverer. He's my deliverer. Say that with me this morning. He is my deliverer. He is my deliverer. Sometimes we have to put that on repeat in our mind. He is my deliverer. I thank God for his deliverance. It's an incredibly miraculous thing. But we also need his guidance. We need his direction. When we're set free, it needs to be, now what, Lord? Peter had to answer that question as he stood between two soundly slumbering Roman soldiers with two more just outside the door. He could move freely, but where should he go? What should he do now? If he stood there rejoicing that the chains are at his feet, at some point he would be discovered and would be bound again. But Peter had no more idea how to proceed now than he had when he was in the chains. You see, God's word of deliverance needed God's work of direction. The angel instructed Peter to get dressed and to follow him. And the angel began to lead the way. And it was hard for Peter to understand what was happening. They passed through the first and the second ward, progressing through the doors of the prison. How did they do it? How did they simply walk out? Were the guards all blinded? Were the doors just unlocked? Did they pass through walls? We don't know how they did it, but we know when they got to the main gate that separated them from the city, it just opened. God just did it. And while out in the street, the angel led him very briefly, and then he disappeared with no further instructions. Sometimes, as we're walking out in faith, and we're following, and we feel like we're going, there may be a moment when there are no instructions. What are you going to do in that moment? I pray that we can be like Peter, who was led by the Spirit. I don't know how he knew to go to the home that he went to. Maybe they had already had an underground plan. I don't know. Or maybe he just followed the Spirit as God led him. You see, it would have been really silly and extremely arrogant of Peter to say, "Thanks, God, you delivered me. I'm out of chains. I'm out of prison. But, you know, I've got it from here. I'm not going to follow that angel. I'm not going to follow the instructions in front of me." And Peter realized, and oh, that we would realize this morning, "God, you delivered me. I know you will direct me. You delivered me. I know you're going to walk with me as I walk out of whatever this is. You delivered me. I know you're going to help me find a new way to walk." Because the same God who was there is the same God who is here. You and I have to find a way to allow him to speak to us, to show us how to proceed, how to live, and where to go. If we will seek him, he promises that we will find him. He will show us. He will lead us. He will guide us. I would ask you to think this morning, what is it that God has delivered you from that he's also calling you to walk in a new way? Where is he asking you to walk different? You see, the Almighty God is quite protective of his glory. Isaiah 42:8 says, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another." You see, when God performs the miraculous, it isn't so that the recipient can be held up in awe. Neither is it for the one who prayed the prayer to be exalted. Rather, it's always for his glory, that he would be praised and that his strength would be shown to others. It's always for his glory and our good, but always his glory. We talked about the silliness of Rhoda at the door, not answering. I jumped a little ahead in my notes there, so now I'm like, where am I going to go? But just thinking about that, and how many times for us do we do the same thing? In our haste, in our emotions, as our thoughts run away on us, he's there. He's talking. But are we listening? Are we listening to hear what we really need to hear? Are we listening to receive the truth? Are we listening to really receive the answer to prayer? It's a really hard thing sometimes to wrap our mind around it when we pray prayers that we feel like he doesn't answer, but yet he answered them in a whole different way. We know that the shortest distance between anywhere is a straight line. But sometimes he's got to take us through paths. Sometimes he's got to take us the long way. Because it's not just about the answer. It's about the process of who we're becoming along the way. We must always remember that as God works in our lives, it's not just for our good. It's also meant to encourage those around us. When God miraculously delivers you and others see that, it makes a lasting impact. When they watch you walk through the fire and they see you come out, it impacts them. When they see you praise through the pain, it impacts them. How do you do this? His strength empowers me. His Spirit strengthens me and keeps me. You see, in order to have such a testimony, we must be willing to allow God to walk us through some difficult valleys. It's really easy to say Peter couldn't have been delivered from prison if he wasn't first in prison. We also have to understand, Marvin, that divine healing cannot occur unless there's a sickness. Provision cannot exist where there is no need. And deliverance does not come unless there is a dilemma. We must trust God. We must trust him enough to follow willingly where he leads, knowing that on the other side, there's a testimony. Maybe it's not the testimony that you wrote, but maybe he shredded the script and he said, I got something bigger and I got something better and here's what I want to show because I want people to see me and I want them to find me and you're going to help me do it. You're going to help me do it. As you stand with me this morning, I want you to ask yourself, what have I been through that has been a testimony for others to see for the glory of God? What am I going through that can be a testimony for others to see the glory of God? Not my strength, but his strength. I'm reminded of those three Hebrew boys. Nebuchadnezzar placed them into the consequences of their choices. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those three Hebrew boys were taken from the crowd for no other reason than they chose to stay committed to God. King Nebuchadnezzar threw them in the fire, and he made that fire so hot that everyone who took those boys died outside of that furnace. And as the king waited and he watched because he wanted to see the agony, what a prideful man to want to see that happen. But I can only imagine the color draining from his face as he stared in that fire and he counted 1, 2, 3. Who's the fourth man? Who's the fourth man in the fire? Listen, Jesus is the fourth man in your fire. You may be in the fire this morning and it may be hot, but you can walk out with not even the scent of smoke. Because he is your deliverer. He is with you. He is your protection. He is your fortress. He is hiding you in his shelter. Listen, the devil wants you to think. I'm convinced more than ever, he wants us to think that just because we're children of God, everything's going to be easy. And everything's going to be right, and nothing's ever going to go wrong. That's a lie from the pits of hell, and you need to dismiss it. Because the Bible tells us, in this world, you will have trouble. but take heart. I have overcome the world. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have sickness. You're going to have circumstances that rock your world, and you're going to be disoriented. It's okay. Call a brother. Call a sister. Grab a hand. Get in prayer. Reach for Jesus and know that he is your deliverer. He's going to walk you through this. You don't have to stay in the fire because he's with you. He doesn't want you to be bound by the chains that the enemy has you in. He wants to do a prison break in your mind. He wants a prison break in your heart. He wants a prison break that releases you from everything the enemy is holding you captive of. But you choose. You choose. Are you going to stay stuck in the chains? Are you going to follow? Are you going to follow the voice of the Lord? Are you going to follow the path, even though it doesn't make sense? Are you going to trust that he is good, that he is God, that he is on the throne, and that he does love me? Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are on the throne, that no matter what is going on around us, you are on the throne, and you are just as much here as you are there. And God, I pray this morning that your presence would just overwhelm us. God, that you would be the fourth man in the fire for each one of us this morning. God, I don't know the situations. I know my situations. I know where my mind and my heart are. And God, you know where each one of us are this morning. And God, I pray that you would minister to each heart and each mind. God, that you would help each one of us to choose to stand here today and say, I will love you, Lord. In the middle of this, I will love you and I will trust you. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to find you in ways that we have never found you. And God, even when everything in life isn't working out the way that we planned, help us to see you. Help us to see what you are doing. Help us to understand that you are working all things together for good, even when it doesn't feel good. And Lord, it's miserable. Sometimes it's miserable and it's painful and it's hard to be stuck in the midst of such an evil world. But God, I thank you for your peace. I thank you for your presence. And I thank you, God, that in the midst of a disoriented mind, you offer us a sound mind. You offer us strength. And God, let us be full of your spirit and let us seek after you and let us choose. Let us choose that there will be a prison break in our lives today and that we will walk free with you in Jesus' name. Amen.